This is Deacon Steve, host of the What is Truth Catholic podcast, a podcast that looks at the truths of the world and contrasts these with the truth that is Jesus Christ, revealed in His one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I have a question for you. Have you taken your Catholic vitamins today? I hope so, because we all need those Catholic nutrients from A to Z that only Deacon Tom and the lovely D can provide us so that we can be on fire for our faith and live the gift of our faith in the world. So I ask you, have you taken your Catholic vitamins today?
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Chilly, sunny afternoon blessings from North Central Arizona, everyone. It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee. And I'm looking out the window. I don't see any sun.
Well, I mean, the skies are blue in between the clouds up there.
Yeah, it's pretty, but...
It's been cool.
It has been chilly.
Yes,
it's been weird.
Has.
Weird chilly. Wait, this is not summer.
It's global warming.
Is that what it is?
Or maybe it's the president's health care program that's caused it. We don't do politics here.
Hey, you look a little dressed up for recording. Me too.
Well, we'll get into that in prattle. This, by the way, in case anybody turned their dial and they wonder what program this is.
Should we tell them that?
We should.
Okay. Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Vitamins podcast. And this is Catholic Vitamin P for passion.
Do you have passion in your faith? I mean, are you a lump of coal sitting in the pew? Or are you on fire? That's what we're wanting to know. By the way, we had an opening, a promo from a new one from Deacon Steve Weiss, and we want to thank him for doing that out of the goodness of his heart and plugging his own podcast. But yes, as he said, we are wanting to share our faith with passion and hope to set you on fire if you're not. What were you going to say?
Well, who's going to help us
today
with this passion subject?
Dee, you know that I have always enjoyed beauty, right?
Yes.
They say that you are lovely. Every time they do the promo, they talk about the lovely wife, Dee. So it was your loveliness that caught my eye in a bowling alley where I took you out of the gutter. No, I can't. I can't go there. That's my old line.
Your old line, your favorite line.
Yeah, but at any rate, you're lovely, have always been lovely and still are. And
you're sweet.
I discovered a lovely, passionate, energetic Catholic musician and speaker named Emily Wilson. She is just a joy. We're going to get into her story during our main interview. She was recognized, and I think she'll mention this, she was recognized as early as the third grade for her singing voice and her courage to get up in front of people. And so she was encouraged to do that, and she did that at the age of 7 in church, and she's been singing ever since. She went, to Arizona State University, not terribly far from us.
Just like a stone's throw. Well, more than a stone's throw.
Yeah, like about 90 miles from us. But she went to Arizona State University, and while she was there, she began leading a worship at church with Ike Endolo. And Dee, I played a video of Ike Endolo. You can find him on YouTube, and he is just a passionate, powerful man himself. He's got a great group that he is with, and Dee, you watched it, did you?
I did. I like the sound of that music.
Yeah, well, he's been doing music with our guest, Emily Wilson. And the heart of her ministry is offering encouragement to young women in their search for their true identity. And she's done campus ministry work. She's traveled around the world speaking and singing. She's got an album. We'll talk about that. We're going to play a couple of her songs in this show. And the name of her album is Joy Will Be Yours. It's a joy to have Emily Wilson. So we got enough prattle to do that we should move on. But you can tell I'm excited to bring our guest.
You are.
So let's continue. And what do we have for prattle this time?
Well, this is Saturday, May 9th, as we're recording. And we just came back a little while ago from the funeral for Deacon Ed. And I think we mentioned this on the last podcast because he had passed away just before we recorded last week.
30 years a deacon and more for the Diocese of Phoenix. And although we're in the Diocese of Tucson, most of his work was doing not so much parish ministry, but work on Indian reservations and
Prison ministry. Yeah. And then he and his wife retired up to this little town where we live, and then he got faculties to serve in this diocese.
So he was in our parish for some years. See, for a little while when we had a pastor who was ill, Deacon Ed was a parish administrator. And when we had an Anglican Catholic church in which the pastor and many of the people converted over to the Roman church, actually it's called to the personal ordinariate.
Yeah.
They just had one priest there, and I think about 35 of his parishioners converted to the Roman church in union with the Holy Father. And Deacon Ed started serving and helping in that parish over there so that they would have a deacon. So
actually in his retirement. He'd actually retired already, didn't he?
That's right. That's right.
But exactly. he still went and helped out. So we had the priest from that church concelebrated today for the Mass.
Yeah, I was blessed to be the deacon of the Word. And the other priest, the priest from that other parish, gave a wonderful homily, a nice reminder of the scriptural aspects of death and resurrection, but also about the life of Ed and his service as a deacon.
So that's why we're still kind of dressed up, because you got 4 o'clock Mass this afternoon, and I decided I would probably just go ahead and go to that Mass too, so why change?
Took us quite a few words to get to the point why we're dressed up.
Right.
Gosh, this is truly prattle, folks. Any other words?
I apologize for still sounding kind of nasally, but I don't know what is going on with me, but none of that. Oh, tomorrow.
Yes.
Sunday, we're going to drive up to Winslow, 90 miles north of us, to mm-hmm. Madonna House.
Yes, we are.
And to say goodbye to one of the staff up there, Lisa, who's going to be going back to Ontario.
Combermere, Ontario, to the headquarters.
And, I think they've already sent a replacement for her at the Winslow House, so we'll hopefully get to meet the new person, too.
Yes. Madonna House is one of our favorite, mostly lay organizations. Dee was saying it's kind of hard to describe Madonna House, but it is a ministry of love and service. And there's many field houses around the world, and they sort of have different ministries that they do, mostly staffed, as I said, by lay people who take promises of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And they do have some priests. What a gift to Madonna House. They have one bishop. And I don't know what else we can say, except it's tied to the life of Catherine Doherty. And if you have not read any of the life of Catherine Doherty, we recommend that. And we also, dear, recommend the book Postinia.
Yes.
Which means sort of desert.
We've talked about that. Yeah. We talked about that during Lent because I made a Postinia.
That's right, you did. Hey, dear, why don't we play our first music by Emily Wilson? And when we finish a segment of that music, we'll bring up our correspondent, yeah. Sonia. How's that?
Well, she's a guest. She was a guest here.
That's right. Yeah. We hope she's a return guest.
I do, too.
All right. Yeah. Shall we do that?
Okay.
Even though I walk in the valley of death, I will have no fear, for you are at my side. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me with hope. And I will praise your name, for you will bring me home. seek your face, O God. The King of glory shines, sheds light on who we are.
Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
Welcome back. This is Sonia Corbett, where we are talking about the principles of the harvest, because we are talking about the Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament Jewish liturgical calendar and how it's connected to our own Feast of Pentecost at the birthday of the church. And we're looking at harvest principles contained in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we just do not lose heart. Now, I added the just in there, but for a little bit of emphasis. But the principles are, we will reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow. We sow to the Spirit, we reap Spirit. We sow to the flesh, we reap what's of the flesh. We're going to reap if we sow. You know, we don't get a harvest of good stuff if we're not out there working for it. I think sometimes, maybe it's this kind of personality like I have, that kind of type A, where we just think that if we work hard enough that it's going to come to us. And there's some truth to that. But a lot of times we have to fight for it. You know, the Bible says that the violent take the kingdom by force. And what he means is not that we're out brandishing swords or guns, but that we're fighting spiritually. You know, we're not called the church militant for nothing. We're called the church militant because we have to fight for the spiritual harvest that we want. And so if we're not sowing toward the Spirit, we're not going to reap. We only reap if we sow. And we also reap after we sow, sometimes a long time after. And we also reap more than we sow. So be careful. This was another thing my mom used to tell me all the time. You be careful what you're sowing, because you're going to get it back. And she used to tell me all the time that when I had kids, they were going to be, a hundredfold worse than we were. And she was using this principle to warn me. And of course, she's right. But the point of all of these that we've looked at so far, Sabbath and Sunday, and then Passover and Easter, we're going to look at Christmas and Hanukkah and the Feast of Tabernacles here next. But we've also talked about the Feast of First Fruits and Pentecost. And we can see through these that God's activity in time and history, it moves constantly between these two poles of natural creation and then this supernatural grace and redemption. We see it particularly in the differences between the Old Testament feasts, which do not have grace in them, and then the New Testament feasts, which do. Nature produces what we naturally sow, namely sin and death, but the Spirit produces redemption and life through grace, and grace is supernatural, all right? So the Old Testament feasts of first fruits and Pentecost should serve for us as an annual reminder that our Creator is still working miracles. He's granting us His Spirit. He gives it to those of us who are called to be the first fruits of His exponential spiritual harvest. Remember the numbers and numbers of people who are going to be in heaven. Just think about that. He's empowering us to carry out His work in history and in the world. And through our liturgical celebrations, He's calling us to think more deliberately and to participate more deliberately in remembrance of His actions in our lives and in our world, but also, you know, back in their day, and then look forward to the future and those who will follow us, and even further to the future in heaven, when we're all going to worship together in these ways. But first, we have to be faithful to sow what is good, and then we have to be faithful to give back to God offerings that are off the top, those first fruits. So the principles, I admit, of first fruits and harvest, they're challenging. But, you know, that's just because we're so used to this play today, pay tomorrow kind of thing that we practice, unfortunately. And the truth is, we all struggle with some of this stuff at one time or another. But I hope that you feel comfortable enough to openly dialogue with God about the area that's most challenging to you, whether it is the Feast of First Fruits and sacrificing to God off the top and risking big, or if it's this idea of sowing and reaping. Ask him, you know, to alert you and maybe help you when the temptation to procrastinate arises, or to give less than you can really afford to do, or even, you know, maybe not risk as much as I keep feeling like I should tell you this story. I had a necklace that my mother gave to me, and it was beautiful. It looked like a medieval kind of cross. And it was studded with these little, I'm sure they were just glass crystals, but they were in shades of green and rust and brown. And then it had these three leather straps, and it was like a choker necklace. But the cross was pretty big. It was about 3.5-4 inches tall, actually square. And it was just beautiful. I loved it. And I had a friend of mine who just kept asking me, she would just say every time she saw me, "That is the most beautiful necklace. It is just so pretty." And I loved it, you know, and so I was tickled that she liked it too, because it was my favorite one. Not only because my mother had given it to me, but because it also looked kind of old and medieval, and I liked that kind of stuff. So I liked that she liked it. And one day I just felt the Lord say to me, "I want you to give her that." And I thought, no. Lord, I like that necklace. I'm not going to give that to her. But every single time she saw it on me and she commented on it, I remembered that he had asked me to do that. And it was hard for me. And I know it's a small thing and how selfish I was being, but I just remember praying. I said, "All right, Lord, you know, I want to be obedient, but, you know, I really don't want to give away my necklace. But if you'll help me, if you'll make me want to, then I will. Just help me." And so, you know, he helped me for a long time, because I just had a hard time letting that thing go. But I eventually did. And she was, in fact, I've never even seen it on her, to be honest. But I was so stunned after I gave her that necklace, because I experienced a spiritual breakthrough that I had been begging for from God for a long, long time. And I was absolutely stunned that almost immediately when I gave her that necklace in obedience to him, that's when the breakthrough occurred. So the principle is there: when you sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit. And sometimes God can't do what he wants to do for us, and things that we've even asked him to do for us, because we are blocking his activity through our disobedience or the fact that we're not willing to risk enough. So these feasts of first fruits and harvest, I hope, challenge us to begin thinking a little more big. You know, how big can we go? As the saying says, go big or go home. Let's ask God to help us be disciplined and deliberate in our sowing instead of sorry for what we're reaping, right? So before we finish up today, I want to just do a little recap and sort of give you a teaser of what we're going to finish up with in this liturgical calendar session. We're doing an entire series just on the liturgical calendar, and we'll do that with each of the facilities, because there's a whole lot in that tabernacle. And as I mentioned the other day, I love this format, because I can really dig in and get very, very detailed, whereas in the study that I wrote, The Soul of the World, I had to pick and choose what to include in the study in order to keep it from being really long. I like to keep my studies between 8 and 12 weeks, and in order to do that, I have to separate it into sessions, and I have to be careful. I have to choose, you know, what to leave out. There's just so much. There is so much in the Bible that I cannot wait to share with you. I hope you'll stick with me, and I hope you tune in regularly, because you're just going to be shocked. I'm shocked every single day at stuff that I learn out of the Scriptures. So anyway, I spoke about the liturgical calendar as an expression of God as the soul of history, and he is. And so our year of celebrations, our year of festivals in the church come from the roots of the Jewish liturgical feast schedule. And so it almost seems like God wanted them to celebrate and rest all the time, because he was constantly giving them opportunities to do that. And we've read a couple of times, but here's a key quote for today: "The appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, these are my feasts." So he wasn't just telling them to do something. He was telling them to do something because they were keeping time with him and looking forward to the day when all of these things would be fulfilled in Christ, brought forward through him into the church, and then be experienced at the end eschatologically. I'm sorry to use a big word, but you're going to learn a new one today. Eschatology just means the end times teaching. And so these feasts look forward to the end times, the day when we will be in heaven and everything will have been wrapped up, and all of these things will have been brought to fulfillment, both the Old Testament Jewish liturgical calendar and also the churches. We'll all be up there celebrating together, one big party, okay? So remember that that worship schedule surrounded the tabernacle. We've also mentioned that the schedule was in a repeating pattern every year, and that happened for all of religious history and all of time. We have our own as Christians. The feasts had both an immediate agricultural significance, and they also commemorated national events. God's people did. They commemorated national events in their history. Remember the giving of the law on Mount Sinai was connected to the Feast of Pentecost. And we see in the church that that's still true. God fulfilled and carried forward the old feasts and festivals into the church and in time through Christ. So they remain perpetual like he commanded them all those millennia ago. We know that keeping Christian feasts is actually an anticipation of the heavenly celebration that's occurring right now as we're spending this time together. And we know that the final celebration of Christ's union with the church will be at the wedding feast of the Lamb at the end of history. And I find that a very comforting thought. So the Catechism tells us that liturgy is the official divine worship of the church, and it takes place within a liturgical calendar. And I love the liturgical calendar, especially because it was God's idea. But the point of the schedule is that we both remember salvation past, but that we are also anticipating salvation future. So this huge sweep of salvation remembrance and anticipation is contained in the liturgical year. And it's not just a bunch of random days that require us to go to Mass and lots of times give us days off and offer fun traditions for our families and little happy songs. No one makes up events of liturgical worship. Our liturgical calendar is something living that grew over many millennia of faith and that comes from Christ. So I hope that we can just keep that in mind as these feast days of the church crop up every so often, and that we'll remember that that's the point of them, is to keep our minds turned toward what God has done in history, what he's doing in our times now, what he's going to do in the future, and how when we get to heaven, it's going to all be pulled together in one humongous, beautiful tapestry of time in which we're going to all fall on our faces in worship at how incredible God's foresight and forethought and planning and detail and providence have been. So, dear one, I hope you will be back with me tomorrow. We're out of time today. I am loving this series. I hope you are too. You can find out more information on my website, pursuingthesummit.com. And you can also friend me on Facebook. I'd love to chat with you. You can tell me all about what you're hating about this series. I'll see you again. Until next time, this is Sonia Corbett, your personal scriptural evangelista with Catholic Vitamins.
Well, Sonia, I heard you say just a moment ago, see you tomorrow, before you said, I'll see you next time. The reason that happens, dear listeners, is because dear Sonia is blonde. Excuse me. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. If she hears anything about that, she'll fire us for sure. Now, Sonia does her segments somewhat ahead of time. She has to because of the schedule she keeps and all the work that she's doing in ministry.
And she does them for a radio program,
right? She does, yes. She has a radio program. She gives them a week of segments, and she gives us several segments ahead of time.
And so that's why she's saying, I'll see you tomorrow.
We'd love to see her tomorrow. Dear friends, our scriptural evangelista is on the move, and one of the things that she's on the move about is her book, dear, the title of her book.
Unleashed.
Unleashed, How to Receive Everything the Holy Spirit Wants to Give You. And we have two copies of that book. One is going to go to someone on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, and one is going to go to whoever we draw a name from those who send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And just put Unleashed or Sonia's book or something up at the top.
I've started one of my baskets. I've already got some names in there.
All right.
And we'll be drawing that next week.
I think you told me you were going to look and pull a name from our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
I decided we'd do that on this episode, and I did pull a name.
Who is it?
Randomly.
Who is it?
Tiffany Walsh.
Well, Tiffany. She's a dancer, isn't she? I think she is. But you're going to
go. You think so?
You're going to see her? Did you tell me?
I think I just found out through some Facebook messages that I might get to see her at the Catholic New Media Conference in Georgia.
Wow.
I just, for anybody listening who may be going, please let me know, because I just, this past week, made arrangements, made flight plans to go.
All right. You're going to get to see the lovely Dee in Atlanta, and boo-hoo, I won't go, but I've got all kinds of radio station stuff going on here.
I know you do, but I sure wish you could go with me. I'm actually going in early enough to, I'm going in on Friday, so I will get to go to the Atlantic Eucharistic Congress, too. I've never been to one of those.
Awesome. I'm sure that'll set you on fire, and may it do so for you and everyone else. Dear, we're about ready, aren't we, for our main guest segment?
Yes.
She's lovely, she's young, she's energetic, but most important, she's passionate about sharing Christ with others. Stay tuned for our guest interview with Emily Wilson. Well, as you heard at the beginning of the show, our guest on Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin P for Passion, is a beautiful young woman, Emily Wilson, whom I discovered recently, and I immediately made outreach to ask her if she'd consider coming on Catholic Vitamins. She's a speaker, a worship leader, a writer, and a recording artist. She's a lovely woman, and we've got a journey to cover to discover her passion. Emily, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a gift to us, for sure. Where are you today as we start our time together? I'm in North Central Arizona. Where are you?
I am in Los Angeles, California.
You are. Well, we're not terribly far. We're not terribly far from ASU, and that'll be a part of your journey story.
Yes.
You did some time in Arizona. Well, let's go back to
when. For a while.
Yeah. Let's go back to your much younger days. Where did your life get started? What was your family like in the early days?
Well, I was born in Los Angeles. I was born in Santa Monica, California. And I was raised in a very Catholic family. My mother took me to daily mass when I was younger, and she prayed a decade of the rosary with us on the way to school and taught us about the mysteries of the rosary. And my parents were really, really involved in our parish when I was very, very young. So I grew up in a ministry family, basically, with parents who loved their faith. And he taught us to love our faith as well.
What a gift. What a gift.
Yes.
And siblings?
Yes, I have, there's four of us. I have two sisters and one brother, and I'm the middle of the two sisters. So it was just the three of us for a while, and then my brother came a couple of years down the road.
Okay. Growing up in California, particularly in Southern California, can be a challenge. Maybe we'll get to that a bit. What were your young years or your young teens like?
My young teens were wonderful. I went to a lovely all-girls Catholic prep school. I was in Catholic school my whole entire life until I went to Arizona State. So I went to a wonderful Catholic elementary school, and I went to a wonderful all-girls Catholic prep, and I really, really enjoyed that, and that was a place where my faith was fostered. And I was super involved in my youth group as well. I was in a youth group where I was involved in leading the confirmation classes and being part of the core team when I was a junior and senior in high school, which really helped, you know, grow my leadership abilities in the faith as well.
Mm. So I read someplace that you were encouraged by a third grade teacher to get up in front of your church at age 7. My heavens.
Yes, so I was 7 years old, I was in third grade, and she wanted me to sing the responsorial psalm at the school mass. So, yes, I was very, very small, but I'd come from a musical family, So I would sing here and there, and she recognized my gift, and she had me sing, and I started singing at Mass from that age forward, and I was cantoring, you know, when I was in 7th and 8th grade, leading an entire Mass, and continued on from there, doing the exact same thing, beginning from 7 years old all the way up until now.
All right, well, living now in Arizona, as I do, I can say that Arizona State might not have been a place that I would pick to help grow the faith. But yet you said that you began to be heavily involved in the faith there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I struggled a lot at Arizona State University. It wasn't, when I was there, they had the Newman Center and things like that, but they didn't, it wasn't the same as it is today. They didn't have any of the missionaries that they have now, and it was a lot different. So I struggled with my peers at Arizona State University, but then I met a worship leader named Ike Endolo. I rode my bike down to a Catholic church in Tempe called Our Lady of Mount Carmel, mm-hmm. and I began to sing in the church choir there. And there I was able to continue to foster my gifts, and Ike started taking me on the road with him, and so I was able to, through that, find a wonderful community and group of friends during the later part of when I was at Arizona State University. But it was very challenging to be a Catholic student there. But I think it made my faith stronger rather than, you know, being in a Catholic college environment where your faith is, you know, continually fostered. I met great challenges that forced me to hold tighter to my faith and to learn more and to really, really step up to the plate in terms of being a young person of faith.
I can't think of the timing in asking this question, so I'll just come out with it. Where was Life Team in terms of growth and explosion in the Phoenix Valley at the time you were at ASU?
Oh, it was a huge part of everything that we did, because I think so many people that I was in contact with, so many people that I was playing music with and that I was speaking with, they were products of Life Team programs. Many of them products of Life Team programs in Phoenix.
Mm.
So yeah, that was hugely instrumental in a lot of what I did, because so many people were so involved in their faith and passionate about it, like me, because of Life Team. And it was a lot the same for me. I had been through the program that I was a core volunteer at was a Life Team program. So that was hugely instrumental in so many of the lives of the people that I was working with, as well as myself.
Okay. At the time that you're talking about right then, I'm assuming that you're singing, you may have done some speaking.
Mm-hmm.
What was your vision of where God might be calling you or to get into?
Well, I wasn't really listening to what God was calling me to do. I was in broadcast journalism, and I was supposed to be a sports reporter. I wanted to be on ESPN and just be involved in journalism writing and things like that. So I never planned to do what I do now, but in my senior year of college, I read St. John Paul II's encyclical on the dignity and vocation of women. And I was very convicted by that piece of writing about ministry and the way that women need to, you know, be ministered to and be taught about their mission in the church. And so, yeah, this was not my plan. In college, I didn't, you know, study music or anything like that. I studied speaking in a way, in terms of being a reporter, but this was never the plan. Mm-hmm. God definitely changed my plans.
Well, how did that start to come about, or what happened?
Well, I was, I came home after I graduated from college. And I was waiting tables at a restaurant called California Pizza Kitchen and trying to get a job in journalism. And one day I was coming home from work and I got a phone call from the campus minister at my old high school. She and I didn't know each other very well at all because I was more involved in my parish ministry. But she called me and she said, I'm opening an assistant campus ministry position to work with the teen girls at the high school. And I have been praying a lot about it, and I've been looking through all the yearbooks for our old graduates. And I keep coming back to your picture, and I think that you're supposed to take this job. So, I was looking for, in my heart, I wanted to do a job in ministry, especially working with young women. I wasn't even knocking on that door, and God opened that door, so I walked through it. And I worked with young women for 2 years, and within that time, I started to speak more and play more music, and my own ministry just started to grow and grow and grow to the point where now it is my full-time job, just traveling and speaking and singing.
Mm-hmm. You were nice enough to send us two cuts from your album, and we played Beautiful and Yours earlier in the show. And at the end of our show, we'll play Joy Will Be Yours. Mm-hmm. You touch my heart, and you have a beautiful voice and a beautiful message. Did you write these?
I did write Joy Will Be Yours, and Beautiful and Yours was actually written by my friend Pete Bunter, who is a Catholic musician as well.
Mm. Well, thank you for the gift of music, and we hope to play it from time to time on Catholic Vitamins to help promote your ministry and your work. So I've read now that you've been at dozens of national and international youth and young adult events, and you speak. So what kind of messages do you bring to primarily young people?
A lot of the time, my main message for young people when I'm speaking to co-ed groups is about being a young person of faith, and that as a young person, the culture tries to tell us that our identity is who we are in terms of how we dress or who we associate with or how many followers we have on social media. And I teach them about their true identity, and that is in being a son or daughter of Christ, and how recognizing that and truly deciding to live that out affects every decision they make in terms of their social activities or the friends they choose to associate with. And just letting them know that it is okay and very worthwhile, the most worthwhile life, to be a young person who strives for virtue, who tries to live out the Catholic way of living and things like that. But it is okay. While it is uncool in our culture to be a person like that, it is okay to do that. And I use the example, of my own life as a young person, trying to identify with them. Because I'm only 25 years old, so they see me and they feel as though they can identify with me. So when I tell them that's the kind of life I've chosen to live, they feel like it's okay for them to do that as well and encouraged in that.
We have a group of people that get together every couple of weeks in a retreat setting. We call ourselves Faith Travelers, and we're mixed bags, some older folks, some younger parents, and there are a couple lovely, just absolutely lovely young teen girls that we've just come to care for and love in our own ways. And I would hope they would get to see you speak someplace or listen to your music. But I just know from when they join us for these get-togethers that, we just seem sort of old, maybe, and some of us pretty out of touch. But hearing your words of encouragement, I hope that they listen to the show, and I'll try to get their mom to have them do that. One of the things, I'm sort of jumping around on subject, but I ran into your blog that you did called The Pressure to Fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recent column that you did. And in this, you said you may be the good girl or the good guy that everyone knows is the good girl or guy in your family, school, community, or elsewhere. And you may very well have run across people who just want you to give in. Things that you'd hear at a party, like, I can't wait to see you drunk for the first time. We need to get you drunk. I mean, I'm older, but I can really relate to that pressure that happens in young people and often leading to terrible consequences.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think the culture, I wrote that because the culture does pressure young people in so many different ways, the culture or their friends or whoever it is. And it's so detrimental when they, you know, fall for one day into that. It can become a pattern for them so quickly. So I try to write these things in order to let them know that, yes, there is inevitably going to be pressure, but you don't have to fall for it. You don't have to give into it because other people want you to do this or the world wants you to do this. You are free as a young person to choose what you want to do. And I encourage them to choose good and make good what they want to do for themselves.
Somebody with Life Teen said, I believe the most powerful worship is when you know that the worship leader is praying the lyrics, not just performing them. Emily has this rare ability to do that and to bring everyone gathered to a deeper encounter with Jesus Christ, who you are singing about. Pretty powerful words, Emily, and what a gift you've been given.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like, my friend Steve said that, and that's a lot of what I believe. Like, I played a concert in Beaumont, Texas on Friday night, and I always kind of feel funny doing concerts because I do feel like every time that I play music, I'm just leading people in prayer and trying to lead them to God. I'm not performing for people. I'm not playing so that people will applaud or tell me that my voice is beautiful. I'm playing so that people can encounter Christ, because I think that, you know, even like people who have never known faith, they can really have a deep encounter of Christ through music. And I think that is a powerful tool, especially with young people, because they identify with music so much. So when I'm leading worship, I just enter into this kind of other realm space where it's just me and God, and leading people in that encounter is a very, very important part of my music and what I do in terms of a live music concerts or conferences or anything like that.
Yeah, I read some words someplace. It may have been in the same area where I found the quote that I shared about you leading music during adoration, which I think is such a sacred time and so important that the young people connect with Jesus present to them in a special way. So another gift. Anything you want to say about concerts or places you've been? I mean, do a little bit of bragging or things you've been able to do that you might never have thought you'd be able to do.
Oh my goodness. I have enjoyed every place I've gotten to go. I went to a Steubenville conference when I was 14 years old.
Wow.
And really affected how I lived my faith as well. That was, you know, being around young people as a young person who loved their faith is very, very powerful. And so I went as a 14-year-old, never thinking like, oh, I'll do that 10 years from now. But last year I spoke at my first one, and that was a very, very powerful experience to think about myself as a teen when I was speaking to those teens, that I was in their seat, was just very, very cool. Mm-hmm. So I've enjoyed all the places I've gotten to visit. Last year, I spoke in South Africa, which was wonderful. I spoke and played in Europe, which was great. And then all over the country, I played at many, many different parishes, events, given women's sessions at all different conferences. Recently I did a women's conference as well, the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, and spoke to 2,000 women of all ages. That was a huge honor. And so lots of different venues and places, you know, everywhere from 10 people to 5,500 people. And every single one is just such a huge gift to me and so, so enjoyable. I really, really enjoy every second of every place that I've been able to go to.
Well, in my little bit, I'm sorry, I'm getting over a little bronchitis.
No problem.
in my following of you a little bit, I have discovered that there's some news in your life.
Yes, I do have news in my life. I will be getting married. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that is. Yes.
Yes. I am very, very grateful to be marrying, you know, the most wonderful man I've ever come in contact with in my life. He is from Europe, actually. Mm-hmm. He is from the country of the Netherlands. And we will be getting married at Christmas time. It's very complicated to plan a wedding when there are people from all over the world who need to be involved. Mm. So it's been challenging planning the wedding so far, but we are very, very joyful. And, you know, we know that the Lord brought us together, certainly, because we never would have found each other on our own halfway around the world.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We want to continue to use our relationship. We will allow God to use our relationship to be an example of holiness and chastity and true love, you know, to everybody we come in contact with, youth or adult or whoever, just to allow our love and the love that Christ has provided for us to be a light to every single person we meet.
How did this get started with him?
I went over to play at the Life Team European Conference 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now, and we met at the conference.
Mm.
And so we met there, and we began to, you know, talk. We were both involved at the conference, and, you know, everyone always says the best place to meet your spouse is in church. And the one, you know, the one I happened to meet him in was an 11th century basilica in Holland, which was far beyond what I ever, you know, could have pictured for myself. And the Lord really, I mean, I feel like my life in my love story that God wrote for me is a lot like the wedding feast at Cana. You know, like I didn't expect, you know, some, you know, huge thing. I thought it would just be normal and wonderful and beautiful, but it has far exceeded my expectations or anything I ever, you know, could have asked the Lord for.
A little bit of a personal question. I hope you'll excuse this. How's his faith walk?
His faith has been wonderful. Daniel was raised by a very Catholic family, which is very unusual in Europe. The faith is really, really dying, and which is very, very tragic. But he was raised by two very, very Catholic parents and comes from a family with six children. All six children are still very involved in ministry in many different capacities. And so his faith life is very, very strong. It always has been. You know, I met a sister last week and she asked me, like, did either of you, you know, bring one another to conversion or anything like that? It wasn't anything like that at all. We were both raised in the same way, loving, you know, our Blessed Mother, going to daily mass and praying rosaries together. We both share all the same things, and that has made our relationship even all the more beautiful.
How beautiful. How wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's do a little bit of future plans other than your wedding. Any events that you've got scheduled?
Oh, yeah, I have a very busy summer coming up. I'll be doing 4 student bill conferences. I'll be speaking at 2 and leading music at 3 of them. I have all kinds of events coming up tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow I'll go to Alabama and this weekend Wisconsin. And, you know, it's one thing after the next, continuing to just grow my ministry. And then in the fall, I am looking at doing a tour with maybe one or two more Catholic artists. Not sure about where that will be yet, but trying to, you know, create more Catholic concerts to go through parishes so people can hear great Catholic music and continue to build community in their parishes. So that's a little bit of what the rest of the year looks like, probably visiting more new states, which I always love to see a new state in a new city, and really, really will enjoy that.
Just as a sidebar to get to the real question, I, for 10 years, have gone to Franciscan University at Steubenville for summer retreat and conference for priests and deacons. And I'm deeply moved. My faith has been deeply moved by being on that holy ground. But I've also interviewed or talked with priests or people who have had their faith lives changed by going to some Steubenville event. Where are the two or three that you'll be involved in this summer? Do you have them off the top of your head?
Yeah, I will be. It's funny, I always usually play at least one Steubenville on the West Coast, but all mine are East Coast this year. I will be in Florida and Atlanta. I will play the first one ever in New York City, and I will play on campus as well in June.
Oh, great. Absolutely great.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, connectivity. How can people find you, or if they want to somehow be in touch or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. They can visit my website at emwilsonmusic.com. That's like you talked about my blog. That's where you'll find that. You'll find a schedule of events as well, where I'll be playing, as well as, you know, my about page and anything else you'd want to know about me, as well as my contact page. If you want to contact me, ask me any questions, or bring me out to an event you have, anything like that, all goes through my contact page on my website.
And they can buy a little merch from your website?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my online store there, and all my music is also on iTunes as well.
Very good. Well, Emily Wilson, this show has been themed a little bit about passion, and it is such a joy to speak with someone whose passion has brought them to now helping so many others. And we're so appreciative of the time that you've given us. We will follow you with great interest, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
I thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show and share a little bit of my journey and the way that the Lord has provided for me with all your listeners.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm not a exactly young person. I may be young at heart, but I would love to go to a youth conference where Emily Wilson was singing or speaking. What a great guest she was, and it was a joy to interview her and find out about her childhood and her great Catholic upbringing, and struggling a little bit at ASU, but getting involved in Life Teen and singing with Ike Endolo. Gosh, she's just had a great...
I wish we could get people like that in our parish here. am I complaining again?
Mouth. Okay, all right.
What? Listeners, not everybody who's doing a podcast gets to look out their window and see elk.
Oh, do you see some?
Up at the top of the road there, see?
Oh, yeah. We're looking out our front window, which in the way that we're facing is south, and maybe 75 or 100 yards up.
Yeah, I can see their white butts.
D.
Well.
This is a Catholic program.
That's how you could spot elk when they're off in a distance.
They have
there's two of them.
Some sort of a scarf or something on the backside. All right. Holly Sasson said that she guessed passion. And Greg Gorman was among those who guessed passion.
I like Greg's email. He said that's also the name of one of his dogs.
What is that about?
I don't know. Greg, let us know how that dog got that name.
Yeah. Margot Renee Smith, you know her, a lovely, lovely lady who has a music ministry also. She said sort of thank you for thinking of me on my birthday, Deacon Tom, and mentioning my website and CDs on your Catholic Vitamins podcast, and for sharing my music with your listeners.
I like her music, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, we've got so many people whose music I like.
Dan Schlattman sent us an email, and he said he was catching up on podcast episodes, and he was listening to, Vitamin F for Fortitude. Well, that's been a little while ago, but he was listening to that.
Well, he's still catching up.
And he really enjoyed Sonia's piece in that episode about the Sabbath.
Well, yeah.
I guess a lot of people, we've been just hearing from a lot of people about Sonia and her ministry. He said that he downloaded it, listened to it, and it was so great that he wanted to have his wife listen to it. He had some trouble with his phone, so we're making arrangements to get a CD of Sonia's teachings on the Sabbath to him. Won't that be nice?
Right.
Dear, what else do we have before we move to a close?
Well, I don't have anything else here except we're doing our Vita Scrabble tease for next time and a winner for this time.
Okay. What's the...
The winner is Greg.
Oh, all right. Well,
yes,
there you
I
go. Isn't he in Kentucky?
I think so, yes.
Yes, he is. I wonder if he drinks mint juleps. I don't know. Why are we doing this? We're back in a prattle. What else do we have? Oh, you said...
Isn't mint juleps some drink that's supposed to be popular with the Kentucky Derby? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, it is, definitely. But not just there, ma'am. They drink them, you know.
All over the South.
Yeah, exactly. You remember when we were drinking and you were in Kansas and you used to like tequila sunrises?
Oh, yes.
All right, that's enough of that, folks. She's been to confession, and we're not going to talk about that anymore. All right.
Well, they just seem to be the perfect tall, cool drink for sitting on the veranda at the little country club there.
And watching your husband come in from golf and...
Hitting your balls in the water.
Yes.
The ninth hole was right out in front of the clubhouse.
Yeah, right.
And there was a water hole there that you had to hit across.
Do you think we could tell people that we used to be in a country club? Do you think anybody would believe that?
Don't let it go to your head. Anybody, it didn't go to our head. This is a very tiny town. A country club doesn't mean what country club means in most other places.
Or in Kentucky. All right, what else do we have?
Anything That's all else? I have.
All right,
do you want to say anything about the radio station?
Well, since we've had a couple people ask us about the Catholic Radio Project, and one lady has begun a monthly donation, it's very small, but it's so appreciated. And so long story short, we were on the town council agenda some days ago seeking permission for the mayor to sign a lease agreement with us to put our antenna on some property that they own in town, and that was approved by the town council on a voice vote. And so that is done, and we're getting close to selecting a location for our studio. Well, we selected it. We're just trying to find out if the things that we need are there, such as the internet and stuff like that.
Right.
So
we're getting close. Things are falling into place here.
And I'll tell you what, I'll never build another radio station again. This has been 3 years of whatever. All right, dear. So let's do our vitamin for the next time.
Vita Scrabble. Clue for next time. Catholic vitamin. Q. Ends in T. 5 letters.
And I have to say, if I may, Dee, I don't want to give too much away, but this is vitamin Q2. You've heard of vitamin B12
and yeah.
Vitamin whatever. This is vitamin Q2.
Yeah, it is. But it just fits, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, dear friends, we've enjoyed bringing Emily Wilson to you. We've enjoyed our time with you in our prattle. Hope it wasn't too much prattle. But we love our listeners. We love praying for you, which we do regularly, and also for our guests.
Right. Send us more emails. Send us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to read it on the air. If you don't want us to read it, just tell us not to. And also go to iTunes. If you've been listening for a long time and have never gone to iTunes to give us a review and a rating, please do.
Dear, speaking of friends of Catholic Vitamins, whose son was it that just graduated from Franciscan University?
Jennifer Larkin.
Dear Jennifer Larkin. We saw that picture of her. They were out in Ohio. She posted a lot of pictures from the graduation ceremony. Congratulations on your son, Larkin's, and on his graduation from Franciscan University.
Jennifer is one of our listeners who I got to meet in person a year or so ago when I was back east.
You've gotten to do some meet and greets without me.
I know. I love meet and greets.
All right. Well, dear friends, that's it for this week's Catholic Vitamins. God willing, you will not want to miss next week's Vitamin Q show. Do not miss next week. We look forward to bringing it to you.
Bye.
To the lost and forgotten, help is on the way. To the scarred and the helpless, love came here to say. To the broken souls fighting for a new day, hold fast to the promise He made. Joy will be yours. Joy.